All right, this is Sebastian Hutton doing an interview with. I'm going to have you state your full name, date of birth, and place of birth.
January 24th, 1949, Guelph, Ontario, Canada.
All right, cool. Well, excuse me, so starting off, so you were born in Guelph, and so did you also grow up in Guelph as well?
Pretty well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what was Guelph like back then?
A lot quieter than it is now.
Yeah.
Like it was only, the population was, let's say, 32,000. Mm-hmm. Then the industry came. Mm-hmm. It grew really quick, really.
Okay.
Nice little town.
What were some of the industries that did come?
Well, there was W.C. Woods. They were pretty big back when I was younger. GE had a big plant here. MBI. Well, a lot of them now, they're pretty well the same, but they've changed their names.
Yeah.
Which big companies do.
Yeah.
The West End is a lot of industry there now, but the South End is booming. There's a lot of industry there that I don't even, that's a whole new city to me.
Right, yeah. So what was growing up like in Guelph when it was still kind of a small town?
Well, as young kids, I'd say around, well, grade six on, like, we made our own fun. Well, the parks are still here, but in the summer they used to have counselors come, and all the kids went to the parks. And the odd time, Lions Park has the same kind of thing, and Sunny Acres. So we'd make up our own baseball teams, soccer. Basically, it's not like today, but we didn't have all this technological stuff.
So. Yeah.
But, no, we made our own fun, and it was. And as you got older, we didn't have malls back then.
Right.
So downtown was a pretty busy core. Everything was downtown. Loblaws, the Dominion, the butcher shops. Back when you got real food. Not all this processed stuff.
Yeah. So you mentioned, like, doing baseball and soccer. Was there any, like, other stuff that you had gotten up to? Like, specific, like, sports or, you know?
Well, I never... Well, I played ball with put-together teams. But as, like I said, I was more into road racing. That was my big...
Right. What were some of your experiences like with the road racing and such?
Well, it was always exciting. We'd meet at the old fire hall where the city hall is now. Hop in a couple of cars and a few parents and the coaches. We'd go to Hamilton, Toronto. They were the big racers.
Yeah. Yes.
And you heard of a few of the guys. I remember Bruce and a fellow named Bill Cruz. They were always in the top one, two, three. But we'd start on a road that might have been 40 feet wide with 200 some odd guys in the race. But I was in the top 10, and I was always very happy when I got home.
Right, yeah.
Usually the top 10 got some kind of a prize.
Yeah.
I got a few plaques. Well, I had. I don't know where they are now. Some plaques and trophies.
Right.
I still got one. I think it's in my storage unit. It's the one I really like. It's called the National Steel Car in Hamilton.
Right. Okay.
And, That was a beautiful race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was kind of, we started on this little road, mm-hmm. then we went out down this road. It's almost like a little park in here. Mm-hmm. We'd go around that down here and down this road. I don't know how many times we went. Then when you finished, you had to go back to this other little road.
Right.
So I'm running and I'm doing, you know, no good. So we came down. It was I didn't know it was the last lap. I was going to do another one, and my coach said, No, get back. So I come back, still coming top 10.
Right.
But if I hadn't missed that little bit there, I'd have been in the top 1, 2, or 3. But that cut me up.
Right.
So that's the thought I never ever forget.
Yeah.
And so, Guelph always had Thanksgiving Day road races right downtown.
Right. What were they like?
Oh, they were great. They'd start off at 8 in the morning with the younger kids. They'd on Windham Street. They'd run 50 yards or whatever. And then they had a half mile marked out and a mile. And then they had a 2 mile, which you had to do twice. Mm-hmm. And I think there was longer ones too, but I was just a little too young to get into those.
Right.
So you did that till you're kind of, you had to be certain age for, they were all age groups.
Mm-hmm.
Once you got a certain age, it was, unless you wanted to do the real big cross country.
Yeah. Right. So did you do that like professionally with a club or just through a school?
Oh, there was no professional. Yeah. It was all amateur. Yeah, I was, they had a Guelph Legion road race club. There's about, I think it was 10 or 12 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we practiced, and we'd go to the old fire hall, like I said, where the city hall is now.
Mm-hmm.
And where the city hall, where the rink is, there used to be a huge indoor market.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we'd practice Tuesdays and Thursday evenings. So we had to did our warm-ups in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Like you did some sprints and stretches and the bigs, you know. Like. And then we had to leave there. And we run down Waterloo Avenue to Edinburgh Road, up Edinburgh Road to College Avenue. And then you come up to Gordon Street, down the big hill, and back to the... But it was just a training thing, like you'd run like a hell sprint. But we marked that like the telephone poles.
Mm-hmm.
You'd sprint the one distance, and then you'd kind of relax, and then you sprint the next.
Right.
Till you got to Edinburgh, and then you just ran.
Right, yeah.
They were always timing us. We didn't know that. I still remember the coach's name, Jack. Nice old man. He was an older, well, I was a kid, so everybody was an old guy.
Right.
He'd be a nice old guy. Oh, and then that was basically my fun. Until I got old enough to go to the pool hall. We used to have lots of them downtown.
Sorry, what was that? The
pool hall.
Pool hall. Oh.
That was the entertainment back then.
Right.
There was nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Unless you wanted to go to the show.
Yeah.
Me and my buddies, we'd go to the pool hall Friday. Well, of course, we lied about our age, but old Jimmy, he knew who the hell we were. As long as you weren't a troublemaker.
Right, yeah.
They kind of...
Mm-hmm.
And the police didn't. They'd rather see us in there than out on the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
Causing shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then you got to be 18, 19, and you're working. As I say, I didn't go the school route, I went the working route.
Right, yeah.
Which was good.
So yeah, just on that topic, so you also worked in golf, right? So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What did you work as?
Oh. Quite a few things. I started out as a, you know, as well, I had a paper out, that was my first job, real job. And I got a job at the old Blue Moon restaurant in Carden Street.
Right.
So I was a dishwasher, and then I was a short order cook. Then I worked at a company here. Well, the first official job, Biltmore Hats. They were big.
Right.
I think they sold to the States. Then that got boring, so I where'd I go after that? I had to pretty well bullshit my way into some jobs.
Right.
But I worked at a place called Gilson's Image Freezer. Then I went to W.C. Wood. They made freezers. And I was there on and off. Maybe 10 years.
Right.
Then I seen another job advertised for a machinist. Which I never run a machine in my life before.
Right.
But I bullshit my way into that one. And learned a lot there, and then I seen another ad for another machinist, which is $3 more an hour.
Yeah.
So I did that for a while. Well, when I was at Woods, I think I was 18. Me and three other guys were going to go out west. Come time to go, three of them backed up. So I said, hell with it, I'm going anyway.
Right.
Then I worked my way back, like I told you. Mm-hmm. Bit of a lumberjack for a while up in Prince George, B.C. In Calgary, I was staying at the YMCA. Back then they had rooms, and now I don't think they even do that anymore.
Right.
And there was a certain street corner, I kind of forget what it was. People would come up with the trucks and say, I need two or three guys to do this, that, or so you could be gone out hauling hay or
right.
Shoveling asphalt. And they'd pay you cash at the end of the day. So then I went, hitchhiked my way back. Went to a few farmhouses and asked, you know, do you need any help for a couple days? Food. And I only got turned down once.
Right, yeah.
It was nice to meet the people, like, just see how they live. Now you'd say it was primitive, but it was. They never wasted a damn thing.
Right, yeah.
They never went to the grocery store for TV dinners. They made the meals for them. Like I said, I went out there, I was about 154 pounds, and I came back 197. My friends didn't even recognize me.
Right.
But I didn't have a beard because I couldn't grow one.
Right.
It took me 35 years to grow a mustache. Then I didn't like it. So.
Yeah.
No, I don't have any regrets of what I did. Or,
right, you know. Yeah.
Then you come back and you met them. You get married, you get divorced, get remarried.
Yeah. So what initially brought you out going west?
What?
What initially, like, made you want to go out west?
To see what it was like.
Oh, okay.
If I didn't do it at that age, I'd never do it. I still haven't got out east, but it's on my bucket list.
Right.
Just the thing when you're a kid. Giants.
Yeah.
Want to go west? Yeah, sure, let's go. Everything's spur of the moment.
Right, yeah.
But they all regret they didn't go. Mm-hmm. They're all saying, what was it like? What was it like? And you should have came with me. Yeah. I told you I worked in the mines. That was interesting. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about some more of your experience, what it was like working at the mine?
Bloody dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, they were high on safety, but mm-hmm. you always give people the big swirls.
Yeah.
When you get to know them, so you kind of stay away from them. Like, I seen one guy blow himself up because he didn't go by the rules. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a couple guys get hurt, just not really their fault.
Yeah.
Things falling out of the... Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine the inside of a mine.
Yeah.
The guy knew there was tunnels, mm-hmm. things called stopes that would he could put this building in. Mm-hmm. And that's where they're digging in. Mm-hmm. But when they blast... After they blast and the dust and everything settles, there's this group moves in with long, long poles into the ceiling. Mm-hmm. You can see where there was a loose rock, and they try to get that stuff out of the way. Mm-hmm. So one day, the guy was lucky but unlucky. Mm-hmm. He's up on his ladder, and I was just kind of the Joe boy on the ground. And basically, you had nothing but pull the ladder and hope my puppy didn't fall.
Yeah.
He was poking at the little rock. Damned if there wasn't a huge one right behind it. Mm-hmm. Kind of bounced his ladder and he fell on the ground between two boulders. Fucking rock come down. The boulders wasn't the bad. He would have been a pancake.
Yeah.
Even at that, between the compression and all that, pretty well broke every bone in his body.
Yeah.
I went to see him in the hospital, and all you could see was his eyes, his nose, and
right.
his breathe. But
yeah.
I don't know how he ever turned out, because I had 6 months of that, and I was getting the hell out of here, but I still can't.
Yeah.
But it's something you'll never forget.
Yeah, no.
There's a few other stories I had, but I'm not putting them on there.
Yeah. So you mentioned in the previous time we had met that you were really good at like building things, kind of thing. Like you mentioned, like
man of all trades.
Yeah.
Master of none. Yep.
So,
what to say about that?
Yeah. Where'd you pick up those skills?
Watching the Italians back in my day, there was a lot of Italians doing a lot of building around town. Mm-hmm. I'd hang out at the job sites.
Right.
Ask questions. Mm-hmm. And then there's only one guy told me, go away. Mm-hmm. The rest of them were, yeah, you can watch, just don't get in the way.
Right, yeah. You
know, I respected that. But that's how I learned most things. Mm-hmm. And I had a set of encyclopedias, you could say. But it was on how-to
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
So I read those and studied those and watched people that did that stuff. Of course, they didn't do it all exactly by the book, so you'd ask them why. And you're always learning something.
Right, yeah.
But you don't learn unless you ask. Then again, as far as carpenter goes, building things, it just come. Just came natural.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was about 13, lived in this house down on Wellington Street. There was a big porch on the front. to get in the back, you go down the side and you go up a few stairs. There's a little bit of a stoop there where you could stand and put your clothes on the clothesline.
Right.
But my mom was lame, and her one leg was shorter than the other. So I said to my dad, my stepfather, I said, because I drew the plans and everything for this. I said, because what I wanted to do is you had to go up the stairs and the stoop was here.
Right.
She'd have to come down, step on the step, and then step up the mid.
Right.
So I want to make kind of a deck.
Anybody want any orange juice?
Not, no, good, thank you.
I kind of wanted to make a whole deck there with the steps running up the side of the house. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can. He wouldn't buy me the stuff to do it.
Right.
And I knew I could. Mm-hmm. Or I felt I could.
Right.
Plus, I would have talked to a couple of these Italian boys, which mm-hmm. probably would have helped me out.
Yeah.
He didn't want me to do it because I think he just felt I would make him look like a fool, which he was.
So, excuse me. Like, using those skills, did you, like, just casually work on places like around Guelph kind of thing? And, like, what were those places?
Oh, yeah, I've renovated a few basements. Okay. A few basements for people.
Right, yeah.
Back then, you could get away with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before. I was confident in what I did.
Right.
And I never... If I made a mistake, I wasn't afraid to admit it.
Right.
And then I'd fix it.
Right.
Because you learn by your mistake. Every mistake you ever make makes your next job easier because you know what not to do.
Mm-hmm. So.
And like I had all the good soldiers, Italian fellas. For a while, I'd ask them, do you want to check this out for me? Mm-hmm. Oh, you did okay. Mm-hmm. She didn't actually get better at it.
Right.
But then they started coming up with all these rules, and they had that license for this, license for that. I didn't want to be going to school for an apprenticeship for 4 years.
Right, yeah.
But there's still a lot of under-the-table shit going mm-hmm. on. There still is today, but yeah. Just don't get caught. There's people that make these rules that are asking you to do it under the table.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were, never mind.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Politics and bullshit. That's mm-hmm. what it's all about. Mm-hmm. They're nuts. I get married the second time. There's really nothing to do in the houses we had.
Mm-hmm.
Until we moved to Harris, and I could do all kinds of crap up there.
Yeah. What were the kind of stuff that you did with the house, your house up north?
Oh, we just simple shit. We mm-hmm. arranged some of the plumbing, mm-hmm. redone the bathroom because the floor was rotten out. Okay. As soon as you start that, then you find out this is no good. Mm-hmm. I ended up gutting the whole damn thing.
Right.
Changed it around a bit, put in a better tub, and mm-hmm. vanity and all that shit that the women want.
Right.
Fancy lights.
So, what brought you out to, is it Harris is the name of the town?
Or? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just 5 minutes outside of Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
The actual main part of Harris is just a couple of streets,
right.
Some houses, and a little convenience store with a post office.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't live in that part, I just lived on a county road.
Right.
Actually, my wife found me, or my second wife, she found me.
Mm-hmm.
When we first got married, I said, let's get a place in the country. No. She had 3 daughters.
Right.
So I can't be running them in and out of here, because they did all kinds of sports from mm-hmm. school and that. I said, okay. So So I come home from work one day, and she says, come on, I want to show you something. Yeah, okay. So we drove out, and she says, look at that. I said, yeah. I just let on, I wasn't interested.
Right.
She says, it's for sale. I said, so? We got a nice house with a pool. I said, what do you mean? Yeah. She says, do you want to make an appointment? Did you realize? Yeah, yeah, we'll go look at it. As soon as we walked in, I knew she walked into the kitchen. She just like she tied and went to heaven. It was full, went to the house, 12 feet wide with a little alcove for the dining room table. I said, we lost it, we'll get this place. So we got that, and we had 24 years out there. Yeah. Built myself a nice little workshop. There's always something to do.
Right, yeah.
Built a big deck on the back. Well, something. I forget how it worked, but this person. I don't know why they were there, but they were checking out the property and the house. They had plans of the house, like an aerial layout of it. He says, that deck wasn't there before. I was here when I moved here.
Right.
Because in order to do it, you had to get a permit.
Right.
Give them all kinds of drawings. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I checked it out and said, well, whoever built it, looking at me, did a nice job. I said, yeah, I guess he did. Even when I built my workshop, I wasn't going to get a permit. But where I live, it just so happened that two inspectors that worked for the township had to drive by my place every day to get to work. So I said, okay, I'd go get a permit. I had to go to the township. They wanted 3 copies and drawings and blah, blah, blah. And they passed everything. Everything was good. The drawings are excellent. They didn't want anything down to detail in the last inch. Just let me be in. Like I could do my own drafting and whatever the hell they wanted. So they passed all my permits, and I started building this thing. I had the main floor was done. And when I was building, I said, well, I'm going to build a little place upstairs for my grandchildren, so if they wanted to camp out and sleep, they could sleep up there.
Right.
So they come in, about every week they'd pop in. There's always an older fellow and a younger guy. Said, yeah, you're doing great so far. And they seen that I had underground cables or tubes up the wall, and they said, oh, you're going to run electrical down here? I said, oh, yeah. He says, well, we don't bother with that. I figured that'd be more important than some of the better stuff. So they checked it out, and up on the top, I didn't have any lateral. Like, I had a peak roof like this. Mm-hmm. They wanted lateral support.
Right.
No big deal, but it's good to know. So I says, I'm going to put them in. They want them, maybe. I says, no, I'll put them here, and here, and here, and here. Mm-hmm. So that should be a good problem. So I had that done. I had all the plywood up there ready to put the roof on, and this young kid says, he's outside, and he's looking at it, he's walking around, and the old guy's standing beside him. I said, what's he doing? He was like, he said, that looks a little high. I said, what do you mean a little high? He said, here's all the drawings, everything's okay. Said, we climbed up to the peak. Put his tape measure down. He says, you're 6 inches too high. The old man looked at him and says, what the fuck's the matter on here? Is the seagull going to run it? That's in the book. He says. So I had to go fight with the township.
Right.
It cost me $500 to get a variance. To continue. I had to rip it down.
Right.
And after I said, do I get my $500 back? No.
Oh.
That was pretty well my biggest pride and joy building that.
Right.
My granddaughter, she took all kinds of pictures of it. She was just a kid.
Right.
And she made me a collage back a few years ago. I finished it in 2007.
Right.
I still got, in this collage, she's got a couple pictures of it. Plus, I don't just sit, they put in collages.
Right, yeah.
I really like it. That goes wherever I go.
Yeah.
And she made another one for my wife, her grandma.
Right.
With loving shit on it.
Right.
I don't know what happened to that one. I think my granddaughter still got it.
Huh.
I remember seeing one in a new apartment behind the couch. She needs to get a new piece of new glass for it. But even at that, I said, she made me this collage. She had it rolled up. And I said, that's really nice. She says, well, I better make a frame for her. Which, to a lot of people's complicated job.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. So nice. I made one for grandma too. Now I gotta make two for her. Then that was good because I had my one grandson was interested. The other three couldn't. I'd send them for a left-handed screwdriver. They'd be gone all day long.
Right.
This one, he liked to learn. Like, why do you do this? Because. So now he can pretty well do whatever the hell he, you know.
Right.
The other two, the other three, if they want something done, they phone him. I just went out to the shop. I happened to have extra wood, so I went together a couple of frames, and there you go.
Right.
So if they stayed like this, they'd get lost or damaged.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I got it hanging in my room upstairs. It's nice to look at. She was pregnant. I was helping her put her crib together.
Right.
And my dogs. I had lots of dogs when I was out there.
Huh. What kind of dogs were they?
Yeah. Started.
No, okay.
None of them are purebred.
Right.
Except my big black lab. I call him.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I got him from somebody else that didn't want him anymore.
Right.
Because I just got, mine and the dog just got killed on the road.
No.
Yeah. My wife seen an ad in the paper, which people wanted me. I got a black dog for sale. And she said, well, Tuesday she always went to ceramics.
Right.
She says, well, we'll go Wednesday night. I says, okay. So she went to ceramics and I'm sitting there. She said, I got to go have a look at this
right.
myself.
Right.
And it wasn't too, they just lived in, which is not too far from where I live.
Right.
So I pulled in and it was just getting to be dusk. It wasn't dark yet. So the guy seen me coming, and I got out of the truck and left my door open. He says, you hear about the dog? I says, yeah. I says, where is it? Because his kids were out playing. Oh, he's in the garage. Not myself. Why isn't he playing with the kids? So I went in the garage and looked at this thing. Holy. He was chained. He had a chain you could haul a fucking car with. Chained to the wall. Just looked up at me and I said, is he mean? His home dog. He let him off and I gave him a little rub. And he went over to the kids and then I'm talking to this guy. I looked and it was just almost dark.
Right.
I said to them, they call him Scoat.
Right.
Where's Scoat? Fucking farm. So I went to my truck and looked in here. He's sitting on the passenger seat. Mm-hmm. His big laugh. He says, I guess I'm taking him.
Right.
So he fell up, packed up his dog dishes and mm-hmm. whatever dog food that he had left. Mm-hmm. So I figured on the way home, I didn't go right home. I went for a little ride around the country. And this dog's just sitting there just loving it. Pet him. So we got on long before the wife did. Mm-hmm. And I turned most of the lights off in the kitchen.
Right.
I'm sitting at the kitchen table. Right off the bat, I start calling this dog.
Right.
My wife, you got to go in. We call it the mudroom. Mm-hmm. Go in there, and then you went into the kitchen. So she walked in. This dog didn't move yet. Just looked up at her. She's putting her coat in the closet, and she turned around, and he was just a little black like this.
Right.
She turned around and this dog's sitting there. I thought she was going to have a big one.
Right.
She says, you son of a bitch, you're supposed to wait for me. I said, well, I couldn't. Laziest dog I ever had. But really good, like my grandchildren were only like this when I got him.
And right.
He just loved them and they loved him. They bring their dog out, which was part Afghanistan. What do you call them?
The Afghan dog?
Yes. Mostly that is something else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's like really tall, long, black. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And they just paid long with his long lost buddies.
Oh.
Just great to chase and knock the kids over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good time. Huh? He lived to be 13, I guess.
Mm.
He got to where he couldn't get up the steps on the deck. Or he'd get down all right, getting back up. And then he'd lay in the yard. And I says, no, it's time. So I cried like a baby. It's really good at that. And I'd go, wherever I went, I'd take him.
Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah.
Take him up to my buddy's hunting lodge and just think that was great, all the water in the world. God let him out in the morning, he might be back by noon or whatever. He'd call him, but he wouldn't come, he just did his own thing.
Right, yeah.
Even when I walked the trails out of my place in Harris, he just doggied along down this way and that way. But he always came home. So he died and I went and did another one. This guy that used to come around our shop, he had a coffee truck. He had a picture on his. He says, is that your dog? He says, no, he's just a friend of mine. He says, trying to get him a new home. And I had already had a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of which one it was. Anyway, and a couple of weeks went by, and they said, did you get rid of that dog yet? I said, no. I said, where does he live? And he told me he lived out on the west end. So I went and had a look at him. Scraggly, not very well kept at all.
Right.
And same thing happened in talking with this guy, and his dog come out off the porch up into the truck. He went, well, I guess you're going home with me. I can't even remember what I named him or what my other dog was. They just hit it off.
Right.
I was always a firm believer. Two.
Right, yeah.
Even my wife, for years she was allergic to cats.
Mm.
Did we go anywhere that had a cat, and the cat would already go first right to my wife. And you could just see her eyes started getting puffy and watery. And then when my first dog, not my first dog, the first dog I took out there when we moved, he was laying on the ground, he looked like a golden lab. When he stood up, he had the short legs, he looked like a dachshund. It's funniest looking. He used to like running me with me in the city. Where I lived, we had a mile around the block, and I'd do that a couple times every night.
Right.
He'd just be right boogieing along with me, no leash, none of that crap. Mm-hmm. But he got hit with a car out there. He's pretty good, basically, but I guess he seen a squirrel or something.
Yeah.
People go up and down that road like it's the Indy 500.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, me and we were both sad about that. Mm-hmm. My granddaughter, her cat just had kittens.
Oh.
And she brought two kittens out to the house. Just to for a ball.
Yeah.
My wife just fell in love with him. And she was never allergic to cats again.
Oh, that's like,
how did that happen? But yeah, she never got puffy eyes, watery eyes. Or... We had them. Well, the one, he lived till he was 14. And the other one's all black, except he had four white feet. Mm. Right off the bat, had the boots.
Mm.
But he only made it till about four, and then he got sick.
Oh.
We had to put him down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had to make these little coffins and put them in the ground.
Oh. Yeah.
My grandson saw me do that. They had a couple guinea pigs, I guess. So when they died, my stepdaughter brought them, the boys out with her. Can you make coffins for these guys? And bury them right beside me. And I says, yeah, okay. So they had to make me watch me make these little coffins. Can you put the name on them? That's something they never ever forgot. They, to this day, they mention it the odd time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, animals.
So, we are actually running out of time for the interview. So, I'm just going to go through everything, make sure you are still okay with everything you've agreed to in the initial form. Is that all right? So,
I agree.
Yeah, so you agreed to be interviewed? Kind of.
I agree. All of them, just check them all out.
Okay. I'm just gonna say them for the record. Is that okay?
All right. For the record.
You agreed to have this interview audio recorded?
Yes.
You agreed that this audio recording can be shared with the public on an open access website?
Yes.
You agreed that direct quotes can be taken from this interview?
Yes.
You agreed that you will be identified by your name and other identifiers on the website?
No.
Okay.
Nothing to do with the website.
Okay. Okay. And you agreed that the record interview can be made part of the University of Guelph public collection.
Yeah, it's okay. University.
Right. Okay. Cool. Well, thank you.
No problem, Sebastian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remembered that.
Yeah.
I don't usually remember names. Yours isn't yours.
Just a little weird enough, right?
Yeah, it's not John or Bob or George.
Yeah.
What do they call you at school? Probably a lot of things.
I prefer Seb.
Seb?
Yeah, but like Sebastian is like also like a more formal setting. So like if I'm on record, I'd be Sebastian, but like casually. Seb.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything official.
Mm-hmm.
Around here, I told him.
Right.
Four other women.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they don't call them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's all most of them do.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's just me, they'll say, how you doing? I come down into here, it's...
Right, yeah.